All right, fellas, how we doing? Anybody sorry they came? Good, because I know you're busy, and I wanted you to leave having felt that you invested a day, that you were so glad that you invested in coming here. I know that all of us, when we look at the end of our life, none of us want to have built with wood, hay, and straw. None of us do. If you've been around the Navigators for many years, why, you know that we like to claim verses. And the Navigators have claimed Isaiah 60, verse 20, 21, for many years, Dawson Trotman. And it says that the least shall become a thousand, and the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I will hasten it. And we are seeing multiplication of men all over through Every Man a Warrior. 32,000 books, 7,000 men have gone through it already. We have men in six different Latin American countries using it. And we're going to talk about a giving project here in just a little bit on how we can help the guys in Russia and Ukraine get started using it. But before we do that, back to the thing of claiming verses. I was having my quiet time, and I came across this verse in Isaiah 60, and the least shall become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. Boy, that's kind of a neat little verse. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, is there a verse that you want to give me for Every Man a Warrior? Now, I just have to admit, my heart probably wasn't right. I was really hoping for something, you know, really dynamic and exciting, some verse that was really great. And he didn't give it to me. And for 5 days I prayed, Lord, is there a passage that represents what's on your heart for Every Man a Warrior? And 5 days go by, and on the fifth day, he gave me a verse, and it was nothing like I expected. It was Proverbs 24:11. It says, rescue those being led away to death, and hold back those that are staggering towards the slaughter. And I was a little bit disappointed, because I, in my flesh, I wanted something, you know, really exciting. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, that's not a very positive verse. Why did you give me that verse? And I didn't see this one coming. When I asked the Lord that, for one millisecond, the Lord allowed me to feel the pain in his heart over the millions of Christian marriages and families that are headed towards destruction because the man doesn't know what to do. And I wept. I just burst into tears and I wept. And he only let me feel it for a millisecond. And that had never happened before in my life. But I began to realize that one of the purposes of Every Man a Warrior is to save marriages. When a marriage fails, and I know that not every marriage can be saved, but when a marriage fails, it has generational implications. And so I asked a good friend of mine, Barr. Barr got involved in Every Man a Warrior 2 years ago, and during that time, his wife served him divorce papers. And God worked in great ways to heal the marriage and heal the family. So Barr, would you come up and share? Barr's all the way from Detroit. Let's give him a hand.
She didn't serve me divorce papers because I started the series, just to get that clear. So if you guys want to start, don't worry about getting served papers here. So, good. I just wanted to start out with just, you know, a thought. What is success? I mean, how are you guys defining and living success in your life? And let me give you a bit of my background. Our family immigrated from Holland. I was one of seven kids. Accepted Christ in high school, went to a Federal Service Academy, graduated, taught my class, served 6 years in the military, spent a couple of years with a special warfare unit. With that, I also found the love of my life, married a beautiful woman from South America. We had two great kids. I went on, after the Navy, I went on to graduate school, got a couple master's degrees, worked for a major corporation, had some successes. In the late 90s, I jumped into the internet space with several of us left General Electric, went to go start an internet-based company, got venture capital funded, started to really build the company. So, you know, in 1999, 2000, 2001, really, I'll say, living a great life according to worldly standards. Had a beautiful wife, great kids. you know, very successful career, building a company, building a legacy. And so that was just part of my nature, was to be a strong provider and protector for my family. And things were going well. I mean, 2000, you know, everyone knows the decade of 2000 through 2010, 12, a lot of economic problems, but, you know, our company was prospering. We were surviving. I was involved with men's Bible studies, so I felt, you know, hey, I'm on the right path. You know, I'm learning things here. And in early 2009, I had gone through a series and felt God tugging on my heart, saying, hey, Bar, you know, you can do more. You can do more than just attend church and kind of pinch hitting every now and then. I really laid it on my heart to get a lot more involved in men's life. I'm thinking, well, who wouldn't? People tell us all the time, Bar, you got the perfect life. You got the perfect marriage. You got great kids. So I'm thinking I must be doing things right. And my mentor said, you know, Bar, you have to be careful what you ask for. If that's what you God truly laid on your heart, he's going to test you. He's going to really see how faithful you are. And I'm like, sure, bring it on. You know, I've gone through challenges before. Well, shortly after that, you know, trouble started to come in. Because we were VC funded, we were very, you know, their whole mindset around the company is, hey, grow top line, grow margins. It's really about growing their company. And we started to, I'll say, the wheels started coming off. And there was a lot of pressure. And we had a company that wanted to buy us. And they backed out. You know, and there was questions about, hey, these books don't, you know, are being cooked. The numbers don't look right. And the CEO was under extreme pressure. He walked into my office one day and kind of pitted my moral and ethical standards against my worldly desires. And I was thinking about it, and before he left, he goes, Bar, you know, it's amazing what a man will do when he's got a mortgage and a kid in college, which I did. He said, just think about it and let me know. Went home that night, sat down with my wife and talked about this dilemma. You know, do I kind of hop on board because you want to what? We get millions and millions of dollars on the line. And is that worth it to toe the line? Or do I take this ethical and moral stand? And we felt, okay, let's take the stand. Well, I'll say shortly after that, things started to, when the company started to fall apart, you know, people were either, you know, you're either with the CEO or you're against the CEO. And if you were against the CEO, he made life miserable. And that started to put, I'll say, pressure on me because I was a provider, because I had a kid in college and I had a mortgage. And I would had to provide and protect. And so with that, I tried to get my wife to understand, and you know, with that, I was given a huge assignment, which really was one of these where we're betting the company on this Bar. You know, you got to deliver. And if you fail, you know, you're not failing me. You're failing 250 people, which we're employing, 300 people, which we're employing. And so that's additional pressure. And I said, well, you want to know what? By golly, I mean, even though I know this is an impossible task, I'm going to stand up to it. I'm going to stand up to this challenge. And I'm going to, you know, put people, you know, around me who are going to help me succeed. And part of that is I hired in a project manager, a very young, beautiful, attractive woman who was very good at what she did. And I brought on a couple other people on staff. Well, my wife, sensors are going off. Hey, that's what are you doing? And so, you know, we went and talked to our pastor about what's the right way I should be conducting ourselves. Because, you know, my wife felt threatened, as she probably should. But I'm just like, look, I've got to get this project done. I can't fail. I felt, you know, a lot of pressure on me. And so as time went on, you know, things were not necessarily improving. Doubt starts setting in. My wife starts questioning herself. Honey, is this really the right move? You should have just gone along with the CEO. He's going to set you up for failure. You know, here we are living in one of the nicest neighborhoods in our area. What happens if we have to sell the house and move? Where are we going to go? I mean, really, all the doubts in the world started creeping in. I kept telling her, you don't understand me. You don't understand what's going on. And about that time, my mentor stepped in and said, hey, Bar, you know, I think you really need this series, the Every Man a Warrior series. And I'm like, I don't have time. I mean, I'm working 70 plus hours a week, and I've got so much other things to worry about. I got kids' games to go to. I've got so much. He goes, let's just start this series. And so with it, foundationally, We started in with, okay, let's start with the baseline. How's your prayer life? How's your meditation? And it's like maybe once a week. I mean, it was just because my whole priority and focus wasn't on God. It was on succeeding in this world according to the worldly standards. And as we started in that, one of the verses, you know, we have to memorize is Joshua 1:8, which was one of the first verses I had memorized, I consider a life verse, about keeping this, you know, the book of law written in our hearts and on our tongues. And really, it was about, that's when prosperity and success comes, when I'm following that. And I realized, no, I'm not doing that. So I started memorizing the scriptures, started spending daily time in the Word, meditating. Things didn't get better. Things got worse. You know, my wife still didn't understand me. She it was still a lot of pressure. And, you know, I kept driving to achieve the goal. I'm like, Lord, this is not happening. Things are not moving fast enough. You know, I mean, spend time in the military, spend time with GE, everything's time driven. By a certain time, things are going to happen. Things are going to get done. That's the only way we can achieve success. Well, you know, I'm on God's clock at this point. And just about the time in which we started going through book two, I mean, end up reading 1 Peter 3:7. And when I was meditating on that, I realized the problem is my wife doesn't have to understand me. I need to understand her. And that just changed my whole attitude and reflection on all this time I've been trying to convince her about I am right. I'm doing what's best. And in reality, I was not reinforcing what she needed. I had to start understanding what her needs were. And that was critical, I'll say, turning point. And so, you know, with that, it was about getting my heart in the right place. And I continued to meditate and reflect on the Word daily. Christ was filling in my heart. And all the envy I had and the bitterness I had towards people started to get pushed out. You know, I mean, I hated going to work every day because there's people I could say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. But to their face, I'm like, hey, buddy, let's go. What's happening here? But until I started to feel sorry for these people and the condition that they were in and really trying to see that they were trapped in this world and started praying for them, started changing my heart. So Christ, as I kept meditating on this Word, which was the series was important about, was every day, Christ kept filling more and more in my heart. Finally, it's about several months later, 4 or 5 months later, I was meditating and praying, and I said, you know, Lord, I've got this backup plan in my heart. I know, you know, I can see what's coming down the pike. I can just see how my wife is. And my backup plan was, what had happened several weeks earlier was, I was talking with my project manager, and she said, hey, you know, I guess this project's over in a couple months, so I guess it's going to end soon. I said, well, that's not the only thing that's going to end. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, I said, my wife's probably going to serve me papers and divorce me here soon. And she felt bad for me emotionally. So we started to create an emotional bond. It wasn't a strong one, but I had decided to let her into my heart, a place that should have only been occupied by my wife. Because, you know, my wife had really, I'll say, she had been neglecting my needs. And I said, well, you know, if she's neglecting it, I'll find someone else who can eventually fill that. I was, you know, so a lot of these thoughts were in my head about my backup plan. You know what? My first plan is, yep, I'll try to save the marriage. If I don't, you know what? I've got my reserve chute. Well, that wasn't God's plan. Several days later, my wife walks, and I was working in my home office. She walks in and sets a manila envelope on my desk, and she just says to me, honey, this is going to be best for both of us. It'll take both of us out of our pain and our misery. Just read it and sign it. And I looked up at her, and I could see pain. I mean, she wasn't joyful about this. I could see pain. I could see disappointment in her face because her Prince Charming, her knight in shining armor, who she had invested in, saying, he's going to be my protector, provider, and priest in our house, had fallen. And he is not going to get back up. He's not going to take that role on. And it was just, I'll say, a crushing moment. And I'm thinking to myself, and I told her, I said, honey, I know in my heart, and you know in your heart, this is not God's plan for our marriage. But for her, she was so hurting. That was the only thing for her to stop her pain and in her heart. And for me, it was just such a overwhelming emotional time. I said, you know, I just have to continue because I know I'm walking the path God wants me to walk. I know this is really not the path, you know, this is not what he has planned for us. I know he's got something greater. Well, a couple weeks later, I come home and she's got a big smile on her face. I'm like, oh gosh, what's going on now? And she goes, honey, I've got something to confess. I'm like, oh geez, you know, my mind's going a million different places, so just let her talk. And she said, well, I've been having you investigated the last several months. You've been followed, tracked, cell phone, everything that I could legally get my hands on, you didn't know about, I was having you checked out. And I just met with a private investigator, and he told me, either your husband's really, really good at hiding his affair, or he's just really, really good. I've been in this business for a long time. I can keep taking your money, but you know what? I don't think he's involved with anyone. He's not doing anything wrong. And you just go talk to him. And that was really the hallelujah moment. I mean, I can't say everything was clear. I mean, it's not like a Hollywood ending in the next 30 minutes. You know, that was the beginning. That was the end of the storm. That was the point that I had been looking for. And just about that time, I was memorizing James 1, 2 through 4. And this was the testing. And God had put me through a testing of my faith and perseverance because he wanted to make sure it was complete so that I could be complete. And now he felt, you are ready now to start that mission I gave to you back in 2009 to start building men in their career, in their relationship with God. Anecdotally, over the next several months, the project got completed. Several of the people who had signed on with the CEO were fired because, you know, the board had had enough. We sold the company a little while later for 3 times what we would have gotten in the first place. So this is God saying, hey, look, you put your faith in me. I'm helping you out. Our marriage has been, you know, I'll say, our marriage is different. I mean, it's on a higher level of maturity than it would have been had we not had this event in our life that God had tested us on. And with our children too, because this is very critical, is with our children, we recently went on vacation with them, and the comments to hear, mom and dad, I can't believe how in love you guys are with each other. It's almost worse than high school. But isn't that great to hear? I mean, with this series, with the Every Man a Warrior series, I learned that, you know, my two daughters are learning from me what it's like to have a godly husband. And it gives me the opportunity because our older daughter started dating. She's like, I'm like, who's this guy? And she's like, I'll wait before you tell him because if I get serious, then I want you to really start talking to him. And that's really the, you know, I'll say what this series has done because now I've embedded his word in my heart. And so with that, I want to ask you again, how are you defining success in your life? What are you doing to achieve success in your life? Thank you.